A midweek Wednesday edition of Connecticut Today on July 15th, Tax Day 2020. Former Democratic State Rep. Chris Caruso joined us in the 4 o'clock hour to give us the latest on the ongoing controversy surrounding the Bridgeport Christopher Columbus statue and what the future portends for that. 5 o'clock hour featured Dan Onofrio, the president and CEO of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. He made a return visit to talk about what he hears from his members as we are still in phase two of the state's coronavirus reopening. So give us an update. Where is the statue and what is the what's the current status of this whole thing right now, Chris?
Well, all I could tell you where the statue is located, it's in a smelly location. I can't tell you more than that.
Okay. All right.
It smells where they put it.
Is it secure? Do you know that?
Well, from what I understand, it is, but it's as secure as anything can be. If there's an angry mob, basically they could break into anything, you know? Right now, I take it it's secure. Where we are with the whole situation, the city council members, 14 in total, submitted a letter to the mayor calling on him to convene a special meeting of the Bridgeport City Council for the purpose of considering one resolution and one resolution alone that was signed by 14 members of the council, which is a supermajority. The council has 20 members,
okay.
So it's a supermajority. And they're calling on the mayor or directing the mayor to replace the statue at the location where it was taken from. And then further, the resolution at that point would call for the dialogue to continue among city council, among the Italian community, and also representatives from those who are protesting that the statue comes down. I think it has to be pointed out, Paul, that there was a process in place. People were talking. I was talking with members of the city council. An agreement had been met. That agreement at that point was going to be taken to the larger community and also involve representatives from those protesting. So we were always looking at putting more chairs at the table. It's unfortunate, though, that the mayor cut the legs of those chairs out from under us before we could even do that. So the process, you know, frankly, was aborted by the mayor, unbeknownst to those who were negotiating. So I think that's where the, you know, from talking with various council members, that's has given them the impetus to put this resolution in place.
So it appears, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that the council does not want to abandon this. They want to see some sort of equitable resolution to all of this. It sounds, Chris, like there's a supermajority here who wants to, you know, do the right thing and say, hey, where we are now is not our fault. Is that what I'm reading here?
I think that's right. You know, then last night the mayor, apparently, Paul, went to the Bridgeport Park Board and asked them to take the statue. And the park board basically said, no, you got into this mess. You know, negated our authority by taking it down without even talking with us. And under the city charter, the park board has, you know, jurisdiction over any statues or structures within the park. And so basically they refused to even consider his request. So I think it sets the stage now where the city council, as being the co-equal branch, you know, within the three branch government, is saying, hey, we want to say in this, the way you went about this, mayor, was wrong. You divided the community, and we have to be respectful of everyone. And the way everything has been shaking out, frankly, the Italian community has been the community that's been left out of the process. And as I mentioned on previous shows, we paid for that statue. That's ours. You know, no other statue in the city of Bridgeport has been paid by the community. It's always been the city with its own funds erecting the statues. We paid for that statue. So whatever happens to it, we should be part of the discussion. And I think the city council is aware of that. You know, Paul, I think what frustrates the hell out of me, and I'll be frank with you, whenever there's something needed in the community, they look for the generosity and the goodwill of the Italian business owners. And that goes for anything. And they come to those communities and say, hey, can we get this? We need help with that. this occurred, you know, can you help us with that? And the Italian community is more than willing to support. But you can't just go to them when you need something and then say to them when this issue comes up, well, you know what, we're going to cut off discussion, we're going to take the statue down, and to hell with the Italian community. I think that's what has infuriated a lot of Italians, and I speak to many every day, and the Italian organizations are angry for the disrespect that was shown, and we're not going to take it. You know, almost in every other community where those statues have taken down, there was no conversation. There was no discussion. I think there was one in New Haven where the Italians in Worcester Square said, let's take it down. In Bridgeport, we began a dialogue. We set up a process separate from the city. The mayor never came and said, hey, Chris, go and sit with people and try to work this out. I did that on my own with other Italian representatives to try to come to an agreement. And then out of the blue, without anyone knowing it, 20 minutes before the statue came down, I was told by the city council president that it was coming down. So I think the council is recognizing the need to make the process fair and to allow the dialogue to continue. Because in the end, Paul, if that dialogue doesn't continue and there's mutual respect, there will be a fracture within the Bridgeport community. There's no way around that. Because, you know, people who have given so much to this city and have been helpful to the city are going to say, hey, if we're treated that way, we've had enough. You know, you're Italian, Paul. I'm Italian. You know how we get, right? We get angry. We get upset, right? Okay.
As my mother, Chris, used to say, her breaking point words were oofa, and I get the wave of the hand.
That's right. And that's how we'll get. And then you'll never talk to us. So it's you know how it is, Paul. I grew up the same way as you did in the Italian family, and I could tell you a story just like you can. But
that's
enough.
My father used to say, that's enough. That's enough.
That's right. And, you know, and when we're disrespected, you know, we react to that. And I think that's what's happened so far. You know, on the Facebook, there has been this a terrible attack on the Italians, on me in particular, because I'm standing up. But that's fine. I'm a big guy. I can handle it. You know, but we're being attacked. We're being ridiculed. We're being, you know, insensitive. You name it. That's what we are. No, we're fighting for something that we believe in. You may not agree with it, not you, but the general protesters may not agree with it, but it's something we agree with.
Well, Chris, I think you're correct in what you said a couple of seconds ago, that when you think about this, it branches off into more than just an Italian thing or a statue thing. It's about a point we are, not just in the Bridgeport area or in New Haven or Hartford, where we have to find a better way to handle these things when, in fact, you have mayors and first select men and first select women who are put in this position of essentially being threatened here to doing stuff because of violence. Chris, hang on. We'll be right back. I want to give you a chance to respond to that. Chris Caruso is the guest. An update on what's going on with the Columbus situation near the statue, by the way. More with Chris straight ahead. Traffic and weather together. 416 on WICC. All right, an update on what's going on at Bridgeport with the Christopher Columbus statue and that whole situation with Christopher Caruso. And Chris, like I said before the break, I want to give you a chance to respond to what I said. I think this is, and you and I have talked about this the last time you were on, this whole thing with the Columbus statue municipalities, not just in Bridgeport or Hartford or New Haven, but all over the place. This is an indicator of a bigger problem, challenge we have now into what one side says they want and another side says, well, maybe, but we have to do it in the right way. And then the first side, Chris, comes back and said, well, you can do whatever way you want, but in the end, we're going to win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think that the problem lies with the elected officials, to be perfectly honest with you. I know many of them. I've served with many of them in the legislature, but you know, many of them have gotten paud, you know, in Italian, Paul. They got nervous, and then they become corderos, which is coward in Italian. And instead of saying to the mob, you know, there's a process, we're going to respect that, and guess what, we're going to protect the statue until a resolution is met. No, right away, let's take the statue down. So the mob, especially in Bridgeport, they even said, we didn't realize it was going to be this easy. The mayor took it down. We thought we were going to have to fight more. And that's what's been happening. You know, you get a handful of people yelling and screaming, oh, the statue has to come down, take it down, and the mayor takes it down. So then what about me and the Italian-Americans meeting with the elected officials of the city, trying to come to amicable resolution? What happens? Well, then we're thrown out, and the mob wins. You know, it's not easy. It doesn't take a lot, Paul, intellectually or physically, to take a statue down. It's harder to sit down and reason and come to conclusion and discussion. That's the harder process to do. But when you have elected officials that pull the rug out from you, what do?
Yeah, Chris, so you said earlier in our discussion here that there was a notion there that at least the supermajority said, well, something has to go there. We want to see something put back there. What is that something? Any idea what that means?
The Columbus statue. They want to take it out of storage and put it back on its pedestal. Oh, yeah, that's what it reads. And they want to take it out of storage, put it back on its pedestal, and allow the discussions to continue. And the police department, according to the resolution, is responsible to provide the necessary security until a resolution is met. See, the whole point, what I've said, if you put the statue back, I'm willing to go back to the table. You know, I've had my head beaten in more than once, so I'll go back again. Mm-hmm. But if you don't put the statue there, how do you negotiate with anyone at that point? You know, they have the statue over your head. Well, we took it down. We're not putting it back up. You know, you got to balance it out. You got to put a equal playing field, and then you have a discussion. You come to conclusion. You know, when we were meeting with the city council, myself, and the Italian community, we found out the similarities is what united us, and then from those similarities, we came up with an agreement. We had an actual agreement that was legitimate.
And you know,
then
Chris,
the mayor,
it sounds like, from what I'm getting here, and again, I haven't been intimate in these discussions as you've been, obviously, but just from what I'm reading and hearing here, it certainly sounds like what has been going on in Bridgeport with this seems to be on a higher plane of actual discussion and actual give and take, much more than any other spot or many other spots here in the state.
Yeah, well, you know, one reason, Paul, is within the greater Bridgeport community, there are a lot of Italians, and we're very active in the community, in Bridgeport in particular. You know, if there's a tragedy, a fire, a hurricane in Puerto Rico, for example, the Italian community joins with the Puerto Rican community, and we help raise funds. When the earthquake occurred in Italy a few years ago, Puerto Ricans, African Americans, we come together to raise money for that effort. We're there during Christmas time. There's a restaurant in Bridgeport, I won't give the name, but they give out over 2,000 toys to the community so children could have a beautiful Christmas. When it comes to Thanksgiving, gives over 2,000 turkeys away. So as a community, we've worked well together. You know, it's not like the Italians are isolated from everyone else. No, we work together as a community. So the way the statue was taken down has brought umbrage by city council members. And keep in mind, Paul, when you look at the makeup of the city council, it's not all Italian. It's African-American, it's Latino, and the Latino and African-American members, at least several of them, they have signed on to this resolution. Yeah. And it's to reinforce the fact that as a community, we work together. There's a process in place. Let's honor that process so we don't fracture the community. That's the uniqueness of Bridgeport. You know, a lot of people dump on Bridgeport. I hear it all the time. Oh, Bridgeport. Well, you know, this is one time when we're actually trying to work together. And, you know, the city council is recognizing that, saying, hey, we got to go back to the table. We got to work this out. And I think that's the way to do it. You know, you don't want animosity and hatred and people walking away.
So what are the odds?
When the came down, I did what Terry Caruso, my mother, used to do, and I did something wrong, Paul. I put my hand in my mouth. You ever see her do that? She'd bite down on her hand.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is,
So in about the minute we have left, what are the odds, you think, of, Chris, the statue going back up?
You never know, Paul. I do know the 14 members of the council are holding firm. They've talked to me, you know, especially the sponsors, and they're going to hold firm and they're going to fight this all the way. They've called for a meeting of the council, an emergency meeting, this coming Monday night, and they're asking the mayor to convene the meeting. And I think they're intent upon, you know, making things right and bringing everyone back to the table. And I applaud them for that. That, you know, they're looking out not just for the Italian community, they're looking out for the community at large. They're looking out for everyone that's been involved in this dispute to try to come to an agreement. You know, I think that's exactly what elected officials should do.
We'll see what happens. Chris, thanks. Keep us up to date on this. We appreciate it. Thanks, okay. Chris.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep Chris Caruso saying that there's a supermajority on the city council that says they want the statue back. Dan D'Onofrio, the president and CEO of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Last time we talked, Dan, I guess it was a couple of months ago, and we were kind of, I guess, Dan, we were all kind of wandering in the dark back then. I guess we were, I lose track of all these phases, Dan. I guess we were somewhere in phase one here, but what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you doing? What are the council members telling you? Give us an overview, Dan, as to what you're seeing and hearing about in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly when we last spoke, we were very much in triage mode, not just from the business council perspective in terms of supporting our all businesses, not necessarily just our members, but just the business community in general, as well as, working in partnership with the towns and the city of Bridgeport, which is basically our service area. But we've now shifted as things have slowly reopened here. And as you mentioned, as we gotten into phase two, the governor, as you know, postponed phase three for a bit longer or deviated a little bit as cases throughout the country continue to rise. We're being very conservative and rightfully so to a large part. So we're now shifting a lot of our focus on, okay, what does the future look like? You know, how do we not only weather the storm, which we don't know how long it's going to last for, but, you know, how do we sustain these businesses? So, as you know, President Trump has now extended the PPP application process, the Payroll Protection Program, through August 8th. And there's still dollars out there. So folks who have been questioning whether or not to apply, they still can. Many banks have shut down their application process, but there's still quite a few, some of the larger banks that are still accepting applications. So, we're just trying to be a resource for our business community and help them navigate the intricacies around the uncertainty as we head into the latter part of the summer and into the fall.
Dan, it's important. I think you mentioned that because a lot of people naturally, because of, past actions, they say, oh, all that federal money kind of gets sopped up right away and it dries up. But you and other people I've spoken to, especially from the state, we hear this from the governor all the time, too. I guess even though there have been just so many applications, there is still money available out there, correct?
There is. Yeah, there is. We're on the phone pretty regularly with our banking partners. I've mentioned it many times when the second tranche of dollars came out. I said, gosh, you better get on this quick because the first round went very quickly. The second round, they had to refund it a little bit, but there's still dollars out there. So I know there's a lot of the smaller businesses especially are just concerned. They're concerned, is it going to be in the form of grant or versus loan and how do I repay it?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where just get the application in and you can make those decisions as you go through the process. It's better to have it as an option than not have it at all.
Yeah, because I would think, Dan, there are some businesses out there, some, maybe not many, who may be, okay, I can push through this. Sometimes they get, they hear the word federal loan, Dan, the words federal loan. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, I don't want to take the Fed's money. Then they come after me. But a lot of the PPP stuff, from what I understand, Dan, is still forgivable, right, if you meet certain requirements.
That's right. That's right. And they've been they've loosened up a little bit in terms of the percentages. So when they first released it, 75% of the dollars had to go towards payroll. They've now loosened that up a little bit. So, to allow businesses basically the opportunities and flexibility to cover some other operating costs.
You mentioned, your roster of businesses earlier and the ones you're talking to all the time. Dan, there are going to be, amazingly, there are some businesses in some industries that, believe it or not, did actually better during this or were unscathed. There are going to be some who took some shots, but they'll be okay. And then, Dan, unfortunately, I think you and I both have to admit that there are some businesses that, no matter the best wishes or what they did with money, unfortunately, there's going to be a percentage of people that just don't make it out of this, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, specifically the smaller businesses and, you know, the restaurant retail industry is getting hit pretty hard. You know, I got to give a hat tip to all of our communities, though, related to the restaurants, you know, accommodating them and getting, you know, outside seating, even if they didn't have it, and being flexible in that regard. But that said, you know, the longer that bars are not, the reality is the longer that bars are not able to reopen, you know, it hurts. It hurts these restaurants and smaller businesses. So, you know, I think it's just a harsh reality of the situation that we're in. And, you know, hopefully we can mitigate it as best as we can. And, you know, I think that, like I said, the state's doing a pretty good job of you know, safety first, which is true. And it's a delicate balance of, you know, getting the economy back up and running and people back to work, but at the same time, you know, keeping everyone safe so that we don't have to go to a complete shutdown again. Because if we get there, that's really going to be devastating.
And, you know, Dan, I don't think people fully realized, maybe they did, but sometimes you got to get confronted with it again, how big a part of the economy is, both nationally, but even in the greater Bridgeport area in Connecticut here, of the consumption of food and drink is. I mean, people think of going out, oh, you know, you and I were raised where going out was, you know, a big deal. But to the amount that people do it regularly now, it's amazing how big the restaurant industry is, all the way from the neighborhood sandwich shop up to a five-star place. It's amazing, Dan, when that got crippled, at least for a time, the financial hit that gave to both the country nationally and us locally.
Oh, absolutely. And you just think of the folks that work in those industries, you know, the waitresses, the busboys, the bartenders, that are relying not just on that paycheck, but the tips that they get from it. So not being able to sit inside in a restaurant and get served your meal, you know, it's one thing to have takeout. But, you know, it has a rippling effect throughout the whole economy. Yeah.
All right, Dan, hang on. We'll be right back with you. We're talking with Dan D'Onofrio, who is the president and CEO of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, as to how some of these area Bridgeport businesses are making it, trying to rev things back up as we're kind of now in the midst, I guess, of phase two. We were supposed to enter phase three, actually coming up in 5 days, but that's been put on hold. Indefinitely by Governor Ned Lamont. More with Dan D'Onofrio straight ahead. First, traffic and weather together. We come up on 5:16, 16 past 5. It's on the 6s here on WICC. A few more minutes talking about, where we are in the reopening of area businesses in the greater Bridgeport area. We are joined once again by Dan D'Onofrio, the president and CEO of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. Dan, you may have heard a lot of the same stuff that we have here, but maybe you have some inside stuff. I don't know. The governor has called a timeout here to phase three, which, as you said, and as a lot of people said, and I have some bar owners who call the station here, has put the kibosh on restaurants opening up bar areas and bars per se. Are you hearing anything as to when that may be reconsidered? Are we going into August on that, or do you know about as much as we do?
Yeah, I haven't heard much more on that. You know, obviously we're watching very closely what's happening outside of our region. You know, as you know, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, you know, they're doing pretty well with in terms of, you know, keeping the COVID virus from spreading. But it seems to be, you know, there's this resurgence happening, and it seems to be somewhat linked to, you know, people congregating, right? And what better place than a bar to kind of get that virus kickstarted again? So I think they're very cautious about that, and the state realizes we're not on an island. So as people you know, continue to travel and the borders are open, you know, I think they're just really, really concerned and want to keep a close eye on it before they come out and say, you know, and generate that false hope too, right? Because it's a bit of a bummer when you're working and getting geared up and trying to hit a target date, and then you got the plug pulled from you, and that's sometimes worse than not knowing at all.
Exactly, Dan. And it's not always just a dollar and cents thing and a sales thing. A lot of this, and I'm sure you've heard this from your members, it's a psychological thing, too. I mean, dollars and cents are, you know, one thing, Dan, and that is, you know, where the rubber meets the road. You and I know that. My father had a small business. But, you know, the psyche of the greater Bridgeport area and Connecticut and the country, I mean, that's got to be taken into consideration, too, whenever you make, you know, big decisions like this.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm participating, as well as many of my colleagues throughout the state, and many other great organizations at the state level, as well as locally and regionally here, on these long-term planning committees. That's some guidance with the state to kind of drill in a little bit further mm-hmm. in the regional aspects. So, of course, you know, being part of the business community, I've been asked to serve, which is great, and representing our businesses. But a big focus, probably more in some cases more so as the priority, is the health and human services component, because there is a mental health issue related to now to, you know, people working from home and, you know, being in isolation. And, you know, there's a different dynamic there, too. So we're trying to figure out, okay, what are the unmet needs on the health and mental health perspective of this thing and the impact there, as well as balancing out with, you know, getting people back to work.
Dan, are you hearing from any of your members or the people you know in the business or in those circles, without naming names, is there rumbling about some of this at-home work being permanent now? Because I thought going into this, Dan, and when we were into it a couple of months, I said, you know, folks, I can just guess that a lot of these primarily white-collar-based businesses may look at this and say, well, my numbers are okay, so why am I going to pay for all this office space and utility costs and insurance costs? How much permanence do you think this working-at-home thing, Dan, is going to have?
Well, initially here, it's going to be significant. I think it's a reality of at least the next 12 months or so, maybe even longer. Yes, yeah, certainly I've heard from many of our partners and just area businesses that are just deciding to, keep their staff at home. And we've heard this nationally, too. Some of the larger organizations have decided, okay, we're just going to operate remotely or on some kind of minimal office occupancy rate going forward, and just make that be part of the their culture going forward. And yeah, there's good and bad to it, of course. Obviously from a business perspective, you know, driving costs down is one thing. My question is, you know, it'll raise a whole other set of issues in terms of maintaining the productivity remotely. Yeah. Right now, I think initially people felt like, okay, I've got to do my part to keep the lights on and all that. But over time, you know, like, it's human nature, we get complacent, mm-hmm. right? But there's, you know, we've been managing it now for the last decade or so. I just think now there's just a lot more we can expect more controls as it relates to, you know, managing our people and our workforce.
And Dan, finally, I think, you know, when you're at the physical workplace, even though some people can work one day a week from home, 2 days a week from home, I think when you're at the physical workplace, there's kind of a unity of purpose there. It's kind of like all being in the locker room. You know what I mean? It may be an intangible thing, but I think for some businesses, that's really, though, a tangible thing.
Oh, yeah. You look at any sales-driven organization, it's all about the kumbaya, right? They all want to, you know, that Monday morning meeting, you know, kickstarts the week. And if you don't have that, and it's difficult. And I've seen them transition very well, not being able to meet in person. But certainly there's a dynamic that you lose. And we see with our meetings. Yeah, we've hosted over 50 events the last three months, all virtual. And they've been great. We've done a fantastic job. Our partners that have participated have done a good job of being, participating in a productive way. But there's a dynamic that you miss by not being in person. That's something that we're just going to have to figure out as we go along and be patient with.
President and CEO of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. Good to have him on again, Dan and Alfredo. Dan, take care, and we'll talk toward the end of the summer. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Be well.
Appreciate it. Dan and Alfredo.